and welcome along to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. Looking ahead to the Australian Open, we reach the semi-finals of what's been a very intriguing and enthralling year. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line to look ahead to the last four in both the men's and women's by Sky Sports' Nick Lester. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, Mark. Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to a couple of good semis, as you say, on both sides, really.
Yeah, it's a semi-final lineup that I think it's fair to say we couldn't really have predicted at the start. The top three seeds in the women have already gone out. We've seen some shocks in the men's as well, with Novak Djokovic going out. And yeah, really, really intriguing year this year.
Yeah, I think week one, for the most part, was sort of fairly calm, wasn't it? There was sort of most of the sort of big guys went through, but week two was obviously started really sort of ignited, if you like, with Serena's defeat in her opponent. That was a struggle for her with Ana Ivanovic coming through, but yeah, plenty of surprises, and I think that's good for the game. I think the majors have been very predictable over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think this is the first time since 07 that you've got a couple of different names in the semi-finals, certainly on the men's side of things. So I think it's been good. It's refreshing.
It is, yes. Do you think it's a sign that we used to have the big four, didn't we, in the men's side particularly, that the gap's starting to close a little bit now?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be too convinced. I still think, you know, on a week in, week out basis, there is, you know, there's still plenty of. I expect the top four, still sort of the top three, if you like, Federer outside of that, to still be able to dominate. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not 100% convinced.
Okay, let's go through the matches, and we'll start with the women's because they come up first, and then we'll go on to the men's. And the first of the semi-finals is Eugenie Bouchard against Li Na. The 19-year-old Bouchard, she beat Ana Ivanovic in three sets in the quarter-finals to reach her first Grand Slam semi. Li Na, then, on the other hand, is much more experienced, bidding for a third final appearance in 4 years. She came within a point of defeat earlier on in the tournament against Safarova in the third round, then cruised through her other two matches. She demolished Makarova 6-2, 6-love in just 59 minutes in the fourth round, and then beat Panetta 6-2, 6-2 in the quarter final. So she's really started to hit her form now, hasn't she? She's 1-4 to win this, actually 2-9. It's just changed, and Bouchard is 3-1. So is it going to go the way of the favourite?
I think you have to think that. I mean, I have to say I've been very impressed with Jeannie Bouchard. You know, she is one of the most confident individuals, I think, as far as the women's game goes, that I've seen in a while. I mean, she is a real believer in her own abilities. She really is. She feels, I think, there's a certain destiny to her sort of career. You know, even when she was a younger girl, they were talking about her parents, were talking about her being a champion, and she does have that sort of feel. She has a very, not an air of arrogance, but, you know, there's always that fine line, isn't there, with an athlete between arrogance and confidence. I think you tread it carefully, and I think, you know, she sort of has one foot either side, which I think is, you know, has obviously served her very well. She's got a really good coach. Nick Saviano has been around for donkey's years. And, you know, for a youngster, I think that, you know, in these sorts of situations, that is definitely helped her. I think against Ivanovic, it did as well. There was no element of her freezing against Ivanovic. I thought she played very well, you know, even despite dropping that opening set, and was able to kick on in the third. You know, from Ivanovic's point of view, I think if you look at the match, she definitely had a letdown. You know, and I think that happens when you do beat a big player. You can have a letdown, and Ivanovic suffered from that, no doubt about it. Li Na, on the other hand, as you say, probably, to be honest, Mark, should have won this event last year. You know, had she not have fallen over in the final a couple of times, if you look at that match, she was playing the better tennis for a chunk of that match, and she probably should have won here last year. You know, she's had her one bad match this tournament for me, and that was against Lucy Safarova, where she had suffered match point down. I think that was the hurdle she had to get over. Having talked about the experience side, I do think now we're reaching a major, a semi-final. I think the focus, the spotlight becomes ever more prominent, and that's, for me, where I think Li Na is going to be able to be able to have the upper hand here. I think, as I said at the start of the event, she's 30-plus now, 31. Her time's running out, and I think, you know, she knows that, and I think that's why every major for her becomes more important. She has been able to add to her game so much for me, Li Na, in the last couple of years. You know, under Carlos Rodriguez, her ability to move in has definitely, you know, added much to her game. So I think in terms of the matchup here, I think you've got to like Li Na. You know, I think her movement is such that she won't be blown off the court by Bouchard, who does have a big game, but she's not in the Serena Williams mold, you know. So I think, you know, experience is going to count a lot here. I think Li Na is definitely at a stage where she could well be on the verge of winning a second major. I think if you look at who's left in the field, as you say, she's got a fancier chances right now, and she's been very, very close before. So I like Li Na here. I think a couple of, maybe one tight set and then a runaway set. I'll be looking at something like maybe a 6-2, 7-5, something like that. So that's why I'm going to stick with Li Na and a couple.
Okay, Li Na then to get through in straights. That's 8-13 if you want to put the correct score on it, or just 2-9 if you think Li Na will go through. in that one, the second of the semi-finals in the women's, is Dominika Kiwalkova against Agnieszka Radwanska. Kiwalkova thrashed Simona Halep in just an hour in the quarterfinal. She beat 6-3, 6-love. She also beat Sharapova in round four as well. Radwanska beat two-time defending champion Victoria Azarenka. She raced into a 5-love lead in the first set before winning that 6-1. So she started on the front foot, and it looked like the match might be swinging in the second when she lost that 5-7, but then absolutely cruised away in the last set as well. So how do you see this one going? It's 2-1 for Kiwalkova and Radwanska 4-11. Do you think those prices are about right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a very different matchup for Agnieszka Radwanska than it was against Azarenka. You know, Kiwalkova hits a different ball. She hits with a lot more spin off both sides. She's not going to give you the pace that Azarenka gave Radwanska in the previous match. But let's focus, I think, first of all, focus on the efforts of Radwanska to come through. I mean, having been 0-5 in her last five matches against Azarenka, having lost, I think, four straight quarterfinals at the Aussie Open, that's a heck of an effort. I mean, if you watch that match last night, which I did, she was so impressive, Radwanska. You know, there's two things for me that stand out. The best part of her game is her anticipation, the way she moves around a court. Agnieszka Radwanska, you know, she was, if you just go back and watch some of the longer points, the way she reads the play is just, you know, you can't teach what she has, really. And I mean that, her defensive skills are fantastic. She does such a great job when she's under pressure of putting herself in and turning defense into offense. I don't think there's anyone better on the women's game in that department, in the way when she struggles out wide, when she's on ball, she's able to put a deep ball back into play and get the rally back to 50-50, and she did a brilliant job of that yesterday. Add to that yesterday, I think in the win over Azarenka, she was also more aggressive than we've seen her before. You know, she was willing to say, okay, I've been beaten by Azarenka five times in a row. I need to try and take the match to the Belarusian a little bit more. And I think that caught Azarenka a little bit by surprise. And I think actually one thing we saw with Azarenka is, and I think this is one of the things that the big hitters will suffer from at times, is they are a bit predictable. You know, and Azarenka was able to get behind. She wasn't able to, when her patterns of play weren't working, she didn't have a second game plan. She didn't have an answer to the way Radwanska was playing. So I was very impressed with Agnieszka. I really was. And I think, you know, for her, Andy Murray, I thought, put it very well. He said he'd like to see her win this tournament. I think a lot of people would. You know, I do think she's a favourite here. I think the confidence that she's taken from that victory will certainly be able to, you know, to push her through. Kiwalkova, obviously, you know, don't rule out Kiwalkova. She's had some pretty good wins in her career as well. And I think, you know, I think she made all the quarterfinals of all the majors. She's been consistent. She really has. And she was only 19 when she made her last Grand Slam semi-final, and that was at the French Open. So, you know, times have moved on. She's 24, 25 now. So she's got much more experience in the bank. You have to go with Radwanska after her victory. You know, I really think that. I think she is so close to winning a major now. She really is. She's almost like where Murray was a couple of years ago, before he won the US Open. Not quite as dominant, but, you know, she is so close to winning a major championship, and she's done almost everything but. So I think you've got to like her here. I think she should be able to have enough to, you know, get under the skin, if you like, of Kiwalkova from the back of the court, you know, throwing the drop shot, which is obviously, you know, one of her assets. And I don't think she'll suffer a letdown either. I think this could be a straight sets win. I really do. I think it could be close, a couple of close ones, but I think you've got to go with Radwanska maybe in a couple of close sets.
Okay, Radwanska to get through in two then is even money, so that's not a bad price at all. And if we look as a tournament as a whole then for the women's side of things, Linar is the even money favourite, Radwanska 7-4, Kiwalkova 7-1, and Bouchard is 8-1. You mentioned earlier on in the piece that you think this is Linar's year. Would you take the even money about her to go on to win it now?
That's a tough one. You know, it's so tough, I think, between Radwanska and Linar for me. I don't know off the top of my head what the head-to-head between those two is. I'd need to look it up again. I just feel Radwanska, you know, this could be Radwanska's year. It just could be. You know, she is, as I said, she's done everything but win a major championship. She really has. And, you know, Linar came very close last year, as I say. She enjoys the conditions. I might be tempted right now to have a bit on Radwanska. I just think, you know, there's got to come a time when she gets to win a major championship. She's too good not to, and perhaps this is the year.
Okay. On to the men's then. The first of the semi-finals there is Thomas Berdych against Stanislas Wawrinka. Berdych is even money now. Wawrinka is 8-11. Berdych beat world number 3 David Ferrer in four sets. He's now made the semi-finals of all four slams in his career. Can he breach that final bridge now and get to the final? Similar story for Wawrinka. He beat Novak Djokovic in the quarterfinals, one of the shocks wasn't he, of the competition. He won the fifth set tiebreak, 9-7. It will be his first Grand Slam final. And he very much has the better of the head-to-heads between the two. He's won six of the last seven clashes between Burdick and Vavrinka. Do you think this will follow suit?
Yeah, and I think that could play a part, as you say. And, you know, you talk about the wins he's had. I mean, on the ATP World Tour, Mark, the last time I think that Burdick beat Wawrinka was 2009. So you're going back 5 years for the last time he got the better of him. So it's quite a significant period of time. You know, and again, if you break it down even more, if you go to the hardcore head-to-head, it's 4-1 on outdoor hardcourts for Wawrinka. So again, everything for me points to the Swiss man. It's just been a phenomenal start to the year for him. It really has. I mean, kicked on, having won in Chennai, bang at the start of the year. Yes, it wasn't the strongest event, but, you know, that was a good start for him. And again, it's just looked really good at this tournament. You know, the win over Robredo again in the previous round and against Djokovic was just phenomenal. I mean, I don't think Novak perhaps played his best tennis. I think that's fair to say. I think toward the end of the match was one of the most bizarre innings I've seen in a long time, you know, for a big player. Those last two or three points that he played were, for me, just head-scratching. They really were. You know, the serve and volley specifically, I thought on the match point was utterly bizarre. I really did. I don't know what was going on there. If that was, again, a lot of people were trying to find the Boris Becker link, but if that was it, then I don't think that partnership's going to last very long. But in saying that, let's give credit to Wawrinka, who, you know, was just outstanding. I mean, the way this guy is able to hit winners from the back of the court, I have to say, I didn't think 2014 he would perhaps kick on as he might from 2013, but again, we've underestimated him a little bit, you know, and boy, does this guy believe in himself now. And it's amazing, you know, his career in many ways follows his, you know, as a junior, he was an outstanding junior. It took him a long while to sort of be an established top 25 player. And how now, it looks as though it's taken him a long while to be an established top 10 player. It's funny, isn't it, how he's a very late maturer, but boy, is he playing some good stuff. Burdick, on the other hand, as you say, played well against Ferrer. That's a good win for Burdick. You know, Ferrer, as much as we talk about him being the nearly man, he doesn't give you anything. And I thought Burdick played a really good first two sets. In fact, it was two sets and a breakup on Ferrer. Couldn't quite finish him off. But again, good test of character. This is the sorts of things we're looking for from Burdick. Good test of character, start of the fourth, to come back and be able to finish him off. And that's a really good win. I think you've got to look at the head-to-head here. I think that's key. I think Wawrinka's playing some outstanding tennis. I don't think there's going to be any case of a letdown, you know, having beaten the world number two. I think that, you know, that shouldn't be an issue. I do expect this to be close now, Mark. You look at their head-to-heads, every single match of their last four or five has gone four or five sets. Even at the ATP World Tour, they've gone three sets. So this will, for me, will not be a straight sets battle. I'll be surprised if it is. I think I'm going to stick with Wawrinka in four. I think the way he's been serving, as well as been ensuring he holds serve a lot, I think he can, you know, I just think he's at a stage where a first final for me looms large, and I think it's Wawrinka's time.
Okay, Wawrinka in four then. That's priced about 16-5. Four sets in the match is 11-8 if you don't want to put a winner on it, but either way, you think it'll be close, and it's set to be a thriller, that one, isn't it? Great.
Yeah, exactly. I think Wawrinka, I think it should be good. I mean, I obviously Burdick is sometimes tough to watch because of the nature of him, but, you know, he's playing really well. They're both guys, 27, 28, you know, almost at the peaks of their career, should be at the peaks of their career. So this for me will not be straight sets. I'd be surprised if it is, but I do think Wawrinka will kick on after the win against Djokovic.
Okay, and if that semi-final wasn't enough, we've got potentially an even better one in the other semi-final. Rafael Nadal against Roger Federer. They meet for the 33rd time. It's 22-10 to Nadal in the head-to-heads. Nadal didn't have it all his own way in the quarterfinals. He had to battle to a four-set victory over Dimitrov. A blister on his racket hand caused him some problems as well, and he had to save three-set points in the third set. If he'd have lost that, it would have been a very different match. Roger Federer beat Andy Murray, and it's a return to something like what we used to see from Federer, isn't it? New racket, new coach, new baby on the way, and back to his somewhere near his best, Roger Federer.
Well, it really is, and and maybe, just maybe, we were all a little bit guilty again of getting on that bandwagon, weren't we, of the Federer decline. You know, we've all done it before, and perhaps we just get a little bit sucked in. But let's be honest about it. Last year was shocking for Federer. Absolutely. You know, some of the results he had last year at the majors and the way he performed were very, very poor. Now, what do you put that down to? You know, perhaps now we look at the injury and say, well, actually, physically, he wasn't able to move. He wasn't mobile enough at the times at the majors, and therefore that was a big concern for him. And I think that's something he said after the victory over Murray. He said, movement is everything in tennis, and he's absolutely right. And if he's feeling fresh and he's moving well. Clearly the results are there. I think there's two things we've seen from this tournament so far. I think that's improved under Edberg. I think obviously we've seen him come into the net a lot more. I mean, you look at the statistics. I think against Murray, he came into the net something like 66 times, and I think it was 49 from 66. Now, if you go back 12 months, Mark, I looked at the same numbers for the match against Murray. He was 20, he came in 44 times. He was coming in nearly a third more, and with a lot more success this year. I think the other factor for Federer is the backhand. I think I've seen a lot better this summer. I think he's hitting through his backhand a lot more. There's a lot more penetration on it, and I think he's been able to dictate from the baseline, you know. And quite simply today, he didn't let Murray settle for two sets. You know, for two and a half sets, he didn't let Murray settle. He didn't get sucked into to being drawn in long, extended baseline rallies. And to be fair, even when there were some of those sorts of exchanges, he was the one that was winning them for the most part. I think on Murray's perspective, I think, you know, 4 months out, having had back surgery, as he said, there's not too many guys that come back after back surgery and are able to win a major. So I think all in all for him, not at his peak, definitely, no doubt about that. This wasn't the Murray of Wimbledon, no doubt that it's a little bit off that. But I think it was a good performance. I think reaching the quarterfinals, semifinals, I expected him to reach the semis. He made the quarters. Good run. But, you know, Federer, as you say, has looked refreshed and has looked very, very strong. And I think, I've got to say, I have been surprised at the level that he's produced, and more for me.
It's interesting points that you make there about the stats as well. It just shows just exactly how far he's come on from last year, back like I said earlier, back to somewhere near his best. He's 6-4, so the favourite is still Rafa Nadal in the semi-final, 8-15 for Nadal here. How do you actually see the semi-final going then? Because Nadal obviously has a bit of a hood over him in the head-to-heads at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, first three or four rounds here, Nadal's been very good. I must say, against Dimitrov last night, he was at times scratchy. He really was against Dimitrov. You know, the serve wasn't good yesterday. He got broken numerous times of throwing in double faults. I think he made a lot of errors, unforced errors from the back of the court yesterday as well. The only real time we've seen in this tournament throw in some mistakes, some unusual mistakes. So there is a concern about his fitness as well. I mean, if you're looking at his hands, if anyone's seen his hands over the last couple of days, they are rough. I mean, he's got some pretty serious blisters going on in his hands right now. That do not look pretty physically. I must say, Nadal looks pretty beaten up. Now, I know we've seen that before from him, but, you know, you do wonder how much last year is going to take out of Nadal. Again, we don't know, but I just get the feeling that there is a little bit of the gas tank that is just worn down a touch from Nadal. I really do. And I think this is a really good time for me for Federer to play. And we know the head-to-head. This has been talked about over the years so many times. We know what's going to happen. We know the patterns of play Nadal's going to look to employ here. We know it's going to be the forehand to the backhand. That's blah, blah, blah. We've done that 100 times. But let's talk about, you know, I just talked about the Federer backhand being perhaps in the best shape it's ever been. Well, if that's the case, then that's good news if you're a Federer fan, because that sort of matchup, Federer shouldn't be too afraid of this. You know, I really feel this is a good sign for Federer now, and you know, to play Nadal right now at this moment in time, the way he's feeling about his game. I'm leaning for Federer in this match. I think there's some good value in that price. I genuinely do. I really feel that the way Federer has played here, the freshness that he has, the Edberg influence, you know, again, we might be getting a little overexcited by all this, but I think there's some points to that. I genuinely do. I think he's made some decisions. Look at what he did in the off-season. November, December, he was training. He didn't do any exhibitions, better. He trained hard for this event specifically. Physically, he's okay. For me, if physically he's okay, then he's in business. And I think he's got a real shot here. I think we're going to see a similar game plan. He's going to rush Nadal. And I don't think Nadal, again, purely on the evidence of what we saw against Dimitrov, I think that he is beginning to tire. And that's why I think there's this value in Federer. And if I was laying my money down, I think I'd be looking at Federer in three or four sets.
Okay, Federer then 6-4 just to win the match. In three sets, he's 13-2, and in four sets, 5-1. So you could split your stakes on those and have a bit of fun with that. It should be an exciting semi-final. With regards to the outright betting, then Nadal is 10-11 to go on to win the tournament. Roger Federer 9-4. Wawrinka is 5-1, and then Burdick is 9-1. So, would 9-4 appeal to you then? If you think Federer is going to get through the semis, do you think?
Yeah, certainly would. Certainly would. I think, again, he's playing. If it's Wawrinka, as I think it will be, it'll be a first-time finalist at a major. Pretty rare for a first-time finalist at a major to win. We know Del Potro did it in 2009, but it doesn't happen that often. And, I just, on what I've seen today, this is Federer playing very close to his peak.
Okay, good stuff. We'll look forward to the semi-finals. Thank you for speaking to us, Nick. Especially just before you go on holiday as well, which is nice. So
pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again.
No problem. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.